there is a battle going on within the state's Republican Party. Let me just set this up for you, because last week, according to emails obtained by the Boston Globe, state GOP committeewoman Deborah Martell made homophobic remarks against a fellow Republican, congressional candidate Jeffrey Sosa Paquette. Sosa Paquette is gay, married, and the adoptive father of two. And Martell's comments that she's sickened that he and his husband adopted children resulted in a wave of legislators condemning her and calling for her resignation. Governor Charlie Baker, the state party's biggest name, weighed in.
Those were bigoted remarks. There's simply no way around that. Anyone who's a serious member of the party organization should be denouncing them.
One voice was, until recently, notably silent, committee chairman Jim Lyons. He eventually called Martell's remarks offensive, but has refused to call for her resignation, dismissing the movement against her as, quote, cancel culture. Now, 29 out of 30 Republicans in the House are calling for Lyons to resign his post. So let's turn to one of those 29, State Representative Sean Dooley. Representative Dooley, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back.
So what's going on here? Is this actually an example of cancel culture, or should Martell step aside?
No, as I say, I don't believe it's a cancel culture by any stretch of the imagination. I think, unfortunately, it's an absence of leadership is really the dominant issue that we should be talking about. Is that Jim Lyons had the opportunity, you know, when someone, you know, especially one of his supporters and one of his state committee people, said something that was bigoted and hateful, and repeatedly, by the way, that wasn't just one instance. It was a series of incidences. He had the opportunity to take the narrative and say, hey, listen, this is not who we are. This is not what we stand for. Let me tell you what Republicans really believe in. And instead, he made excuses for her and covered for her and said, oh, well, I'm not going to get involved. And then 5 days later, he changed his tune and he's like, well, I'm supporting her First Amendment right. That's I think, where the big issue is that there are people that are within our party that are willing to say this is sort of thing is okay.
So you don't buy his argument that it's an issue of free speech or that, you know, the party needs to be inclusive of people of deep faith?
No, we 100% need to be inclusive of people of, you know, deep faith. And the First Amendment, let's just back up from a civics lesson standpoint. The First Amendment is about the government imposing regulations on you and the government putting you in jail. No one is talking about doing that. But if you work for IBM or if you work for McDonald's and you greet a customer and you use a racial slur or you say something anti-Semitic or things along those lines, that may be your right. You may not go to jail, but you will not still have a job. That's the reality. Deb Martell is a state committee woman from Ludlow, and she represents that Senate area. And basically, in her position, she tried to get him, you know, not allowed to speak at a meeting because he's gay. She said, we need to find someone to primary him on the ballot so we can knock him off the ballot because he's gay. You know, there was a series of things. That's a completely different story than a pure free speech.
So do you think... Go ahead. Sorry, we're short on time today. So do you think Lyons should step aside? I do want to note, of course, you ran against him to lead the party. You came 3 votes short of unseating him. But do you think he should step aside because of this?
I mean, I don't want to say that just from the standpoint that I ran against him. I wish he would step up. If he's not going to step aside, I wish he would step up and actually lead. Take some stances, actually step forth and talk to the press. And help the party grow, help the people understand that this is not who we are. If he's unwilling to do that, then yes, I think he should step aside.
So the state party isn't big, right? I mean, lost seats in the last election, does hold the corner office. In your view, it sounds like you're saying that there is room for an openly gay congressional candidate in this GOP, even though the messaging doesn't seem to support that.
Well, I think unfortunately what we have is we have a few bigots with some very loud voices, and in the past we haven't been willing to condemn them, and I think that's one of our mistakes. We need to, you know, we can't just say we're not racist and we can't just say we're not bigots. We have to be anti-racist. We have to be anti-bigot. We need to go out there and throw punches and make statements like this. If you're going to be this, you do not represent us, and you should step down. And that's the reason I was really proud of our entire, all but one person, Mark Lombardo from Billerica. I was really proud of our delegation that we all stood up and made that stand.
So, you know, you have a governor who's a Republican, who is one of the most popular governors in the country, right? And I'm just wondering how you hope this all shakes out and where this takes the party next.
What I hope is this, you know, and this was, I filed a resolution, you know, condemning hate, condemning bigotry. And I wanted to make sure that we were able to get that word out there, that this isn't who we are. We're not going to let a few define most of us. We're the party of Lincoln. We started by fighting racial injustice. We should continue that along those paths.
And that's State Representative Sean Dooley. State Representative Dooley, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
And listening into that conversation is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, who's been following this story closely. So let's bring him back in. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Jamie. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So just give us your initial reactions to what you heard there from Representative Sean Dooley.
Well, it's interesting because I guess I was thinking that in a lot of ways, what's playing out here in Massachusetts among Republicans is playing out across the country. You know, in many state Republican parties, fealty to Trump or sort of Trump-style politics has become a kind of litmus test. And Jim Lyons, the party chairman, represents that wing of the party. And so, as you heard, Sean Dooley, more moderate, would like to pull back from that kind of aggressive, hyper-partisan posture. And so really what you're seeing here is a fight for the future, for the soul of the state GOP. You know, will it be continued to be fashioned by people like Jim Lyons and his supporters? Or can the state's most popular Republican, Charlie Baker, who didn't support Trump, define the party, which is really struggling for relevance in many ways once you get beyond Charlie Baker?
Yeah, I mean, just the idea that 29 out of 30 of the elected folks in the legislature signed onto this letter calling for you know, Martell to step aside, Jim Lyons to do something about it. Is support for Lyons waning?
You know, it's maybe. I mean, I think it's fair. Here's what I know I can say. Jim Lyons represents the hard right, the Trump wing of the Republican Party in Massachusetts. And don't forget that more than a million folks in this state voted for Trump. So Lyons has supporters. But I also think it's fair to say that this has been a tough period for him. I mean, the state GOP got hammered in the last election. They didn't pick up a single congressional seat. Democrats have supermajorities in the state legislature. For example, Republicans have only three out of 40 seats in the Senate. And now, as he continues to sort of pick a fight with Charlie Baker, which seems bizarre, the hugely popular governor, and with his refusal to condemn Deborah Martell for those controversial remarks, a lot of folks think he went too far, including Tom Mountain. So here's Tom Mountain. He's the vice chair of the state GOP.
You know, what she did was heinous, it was intolerant, and quite frankly, it makes the rest of the party look bad. And the chairman initially stayed out of it, and then he doubled down to back her.
So you can hear Mountain's concern about Lyons there, and I'm hearing from a number of senior Republicans, including folks high up in the state party, that it's time for Lyons to go. But again, keep in mind, he defeated Sean Dooley just a few months ago for the chairmanship of the party.
Right, right. And I should note that we did reach out to Jim Lyons today. We have not yet heard back. But how would you characterize his approach moving forward after the 2020 election loss? You mentioned, of course, the White House, but also here in Massachusetts. What's his approach to sort of energizing that base of Republican voters here in Massachusetts?
Well, you know, Chairman Lyons is unapologetic about his embrace of former President Trump. And by the way, Jamie, I reached out to him yesterday because I wanted to talk to him about all of this brouhaha within the party. He didn't get back to me. But his approach now, since the 2020 election loss, his position is that Trump essentially energizes Republican voters. Here's what he told me last January.
I am very optimistic that President Trump has brought a groundswell of people who were uninvolved to get involved. So I'm very, I'm kind of like Newt Gingrich. I'm a happy warrior.
So there you can hear it. You know, his approach is to basically double down his support of Donald Trump. And that's really the kind of Republican vision that he represents in the state right now.
Now, we've touched on this a little bit, but this sort of strained relationship with Governor Baker, as I mentioned, one of the most popular governors in the country, but sort of at loggerheads with Lyons and these efforts to really oust Baker from the party's leadership. Why? What's the thinking here? Why isn't the party sort of leaning on Baker as a power broker?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people in the party are. I mean, what's interesting about Baker is that he's figured out how to run and govern in a state in which Republicans are heavily outnumbered by Democrats. You know, and Baker has done such a good job threading that needle that he's actually more popular with Democrats than he is with members of his own party. That said, a number of moderate Republicans also support him, and for good reason. You know, he knows how to win. He raises a ton of money. So here's Jane Swift. She's the former governor of Massachusetts. She told me earlier this year that she asked the same question that you're asking. She doesn't understand why Republicans like Lyons and his backers are not embracing Baker.
They should be courting Charlie Baker. They should send him flowers. They should see how he likes his coffee and make sure that they hand deliver it to him.
So Jamie Swift said, you know, it's shocking that a party that is almost irrelevant, these are her words, yeah, has an asset like Charlie Baker would be almost at war with the most important attribute they have.
Anthony, 30-second answer here because we do have a hard clock. Where do you see this version of the Massachusetts GOP going?
Well, it's clearly, you know, the current course of the state GOP is not a recipe for success. You know, as one Republican said to me, we're fighting an uphill battle as it is. Now the party represents less than 10% of the electorate. It's strapped for cash. It's at war with its popular governor. It doesn't seem like this is a way forward and to grow the party.
Well, we'll see also if the governor chooses to run for another term. That is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, it is always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jamie. Thank you.